How's it doing, everybody? This is DJ Duncan. We're on the Bounce, radio.dominican.edu, Penguin Radio. Here with my man, Russell Davis. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, dude.
Thanks for coming on my show. Appreciate you being here. Been a past teammate, past 4 years.
Yeah,
we're seniors. Since freshman year, been with you, a good friend of mine, so I appreciate you being on my show.
Thanks for having me, dude.
Yeah, no problem. We got some interesting topics coming your way today. We're going to be talking about Kevin Garnett's retirement, which came out of nowhere. Crazy move by him. Comparing him kind of to Tim Duncan, you know, a lot of people say they were two of the greatest power forwards to play the game, and comparing them is tough. But, you know, you got to do it as critics of the game, students of the game, being basketball players. It's good for you, good for, you know, other people, you know, to hear what you got to say. We're going to be talking about that, as well as I talked about Kobe a little bit last week, but we're still going to hit the topic on him because of all three of these guys retiring, Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, and Kobe, in the same year, which is crazy. So it's probably one of the best Hall of Fame classes to retire the same year. Now we're going to be giving a little preview of the WNBA. They're currently in the playoffs, which is getting pretty testy. And we're going to be finishing up with Chris Bosh at Miami Heat and his problems. And finishing up with your favorite Dominican. So let's hit the target. Kevin Garnett, how do you feel about him retiring? 21 years in the league, it's been a great run for him. It's hard to see him go.
Definitely hard to see him go because those are like one of the superstars that we got to like grow up and like watch, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And like now seeing like Kobe, Tim Duncan, KG, now Paul Pierce, this is gonna be his last year. It's just that it's kind of sad to see like those guys that we grew up with. You feel me?
Yeah, I remember. Kevin Garnett was probably the first player jersey I ever got.
Hey, black?
Yeah, the black Timberwolves one. It wasn't like the official NBA jersey because I was so young. Like my parents just got me like a jersey from Target probably or something. But it was my first official NBA jersey. And, you know, so that touched home when he retired. I was sad because he's crazy. He's crazy in the head.
Yeah, he's pretty crazy.
Definitely, he's always talking smack to the opponents, try to get them off balance. So it was really fun to watch him growing up. Definitely his attitude towards the game and like how he presented himself. Didn't really care what other people thought, but he still respected others and greats above him. So it's sad to see him go. His stats among the years, points per game, he averaged 18. His last year in Minnesota, his previous past season, he only averaged 3. So you could tell, you know, his time was ticking. Father clock, father time, they always call him. You know, they lose that battle most of the time.
Definitely the game just was a bit faster for him now, you know. He didn't have that same, like, first step. Yeah, like you said, as the time goes on and he plays so much. But I think last season was more for him to help develop that young talent for Minnesota. Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of bring, like, an attitude to such, like, a young group.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Karl-Anthony Towns definitely looked up to him a lot. You know, he's even said that. Yeah, Andrew Wiggins. Definitely. And I saw a tweet about it, like they want him to still be like part of the administration, even though Kevin Garnett has said he's never would be on the side of a coaching, on the other side of things, which is funny to me. But he's previously said that, and just the amount of respect that organization has for him, it's crazy to see that young talent, you know, looking up to him, and it's definitely cool because that was me too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Definitely.
So they definitely respect him. Boards, let's see, his rebounds per game was 10 across the board.
So, yeah, it was like a double-double.
Yeah, he averaged a double-double.
It's a big ticket.
The Big Ticket was his nickname.
Yeah.
3.7 assists, 1.3 steals, which is a fair amount for a big man.
Mm-hmm.
And 1.4. I feel like he was definitely more dominating for blocks earlier in his years. Like you said, he had that first step, that explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just tough to see him go. Definitely hard. He started off in Minnesota, huge presence with them, and he couldn't get a ring.
Yeah.
So didn't get a ring. So he went to Boston Celtics. He was in one of the trades that brought Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and him together, and some say that was the original Big Three.
Like of our era, definitely. Of our era, yeah. Like
creating teams, organizations and the.
But like a long time ago, like Boston had like a ton of like big threes, like Robert Parrish, Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, like stuff like that. Yeah. But yeah, that was the original big three, like for our time.
Yeah,
they were nice.
They were good. They won. He won only one championship with them, but he got it done. You know, and that was his main goal. There's him shouting. What does he shout?
Oh yeah, he's
I'm on top of the world. Yeah. Like that's a memorable moment for Kevin Garnett after winning for losing for so long in Minnesota, couldn't really get past a point with Sam Cassell.
Yeah.
I remember him and Sam Sprewell. Cassell. Yeah, and Sprewell. Sprewell was crazy too.
Yeah, you think about it, that was a crazy team.
Yeah, that was.
Sprewell and KG.
Trying to think of who else was on that. Cassell was always like a
solid PG.
Yeah, he was more of like a bougie Chauncey Billups to me.
Low key, yeah.
Just like just not
the three as good.
Yeah, his not as
nice.
Good.
Mid range,
but
nice.
still a solid player in the NBA. Not too attractive of a fella, to say the least. But That was a team in Minnesota, and they never saw it done. So he announced to do the trade. Yeah, he bounced on them to go to Celtics, and that's when he got his ring. And then he went to Brooklyn for a little bit. Yeah, he wasn't too good. Him and Paul Pierce went to Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. That was that was more on the
downside of his career. Yeah, definitely. And then he went back to Minnesota, like you said, to be just like a kind of a
mentor, finish up.
Yeah.
Just think it's crazy, like, how, like, you know, how we talk, like, KG, like, he went to Boston and it was like, he got it done.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's good. You know what I mean? Like, he got a ring.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just crazy to think, like, that they kind of make it once they get a ring. You feel me?
Yeah, it definitely defines
like his career. Like he was putting up numbers like in Minnesota, and like you said, it wasn't getting it done.
Yeah,
and then joined like with other superstars, and then got it done.
Yeah,
it's just crazy. Like maybe his career wouldn't be what it is without that ring. All that, you know what I mean?
It gives him validation. Gives him validation.
Josh, validate it.
You gotta validate the free throws. Make sure it's true, but.
No, I feel it. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's what it is at the end of the day if you don't have rings.
Yeah, I mean, he's been on all NBA first team 4 times in the season. I'm trying to see how many times he was an all-star. He played in 15 all-star games. So out of his 15 all-star games, he was out of his 21 seasons, he played in 15 all-star games. And that's hard to do. Definitely wasn't in probably the last 5 years. So, you know, since he was a rookie, he was a dominant force in the league. And that's what kind of just made me like him, his dominance, his presence, and attitude. And that's where I really, really felt for him, being a basketball player. You know, like, this guy's killing and he's talking smack and, you know, he's doing it like just every day on an every night basis. So that made me really, really like, look up to him and say, you know, this guy got attitude, but he could play the game still. He's backing it up. You know, he's not just out there talking smack. He's backing it up. I was one of the first to do it. He always was super calm. you could tell he's just super focused, mentally focused, locking in right before games, and then just like unleashes a presence. And that was just crazy to see for me as a young boy watching the NBA and growing up.
Definitely.
Growing up to see it.
Definitely.
So now what I want to talk about with him is people were comparing him to Tim Duncan once he chose to retire. Right when he retired, you know, they started critiquing him, criticizing him of who was better between the two of him and Tim Duncan. And that's crazy because the rings separate, you know, him and Tim Duncan. They both were in the he has two more years than Tim Duncan playing in the league. He played in 21. Tim Duncan played in 19. But Tim Duncan has five rings, five championships. Kevin Garnett only has one. And people were saying if Kevin Garnett was traded for Tim Duncan, that he would be the better player. He would be considered the better player. But because of those championships, like you said, it doesn't give him
the validation.
The validation or the right over
Tim Duncan.
Over Tim Duncan. So that's just crazy to see.
Yeah. I think it is crazy. I just think, like, I think that's actually a really good point, saying, like, if they just were to flip, like, if KG was with the Spurs.
Flip teams.
He definitely would probably be the better player. Mm-hmm. I think KG has better, like, overall, like, game than Tim Duncan. Just, like, more, like, skill, you know? But, like, Tim Duncan is, like, the big fundamental. Like, he gets it done, like, because of his fundamentally sound skills. Uh-huh. I just think Kevin Garnett just, I don't know, flashy's nice.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's fair to say, like, he just has a better game than Tim Duncan. Not necessarily saying he's better, just his game is nicer.
That's so tough to compare.
Because I like Tim Duncan.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of both.
I'm a huge fan, so, yeah, it's tough.
Big fan of both.
I think really it's just the rings.
Yeah.
And that's crazy to say because low key, like, Tim Duncan's like the greatest power forward to play the game. So that could have been KG.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Well, let's taking it down to the stats, you know, stats don't lie. Tim Duncan averaged 19 over his career. Kevin Garnett averaged 17.8. So a point and 0.2 off.
Mm-hmm.
Rebounds per game, Tim Duncan has him by 0.8. And other than that, you know, comparing big man assists to turnovers, really, you know, they both averaged over 3 assists, which is hard for a big man to do.
Good.
Yeah. And blocks per game. Tim Duncan actually has 2.2 blocks of his career, and only Kevin Garnett has 1.4. Like I said, it was kind of astonishing.
Like,
and Kevin Garnett would be considered the more athletic player. Don't you think, like, he should have more blocks? And that's why people were saying, oh, if he goes on to – the Spurs, and he's just going to add that athletic presence and stuff. And looking at these stats now, it's hard to see because, you know, he has more blocks, and that's where kind of people were pushing the argument
with the blocks.
Yeah.
And it's only, but it's still like 0.8 more, you know.
Yeah.
I think, that's a tough one. And I think the only thing you could say to really value is just because of the rings. And because or someone's game looks nicer to watch than the other, but it's just the rings, and that's crazy.
Well, Tim Duncan's been with the Spurs
his entire career,
so we don't see him flip flopping around really. We do see Kevin Garnett going to different teams, you know, trying to win.
That's true.
You know, got it done. So I don't really. That's the only thing I could say to really separate the two is.
Who stayed
and who was really loyal to the organization. And I don't know, like, those rings definitely, but, you know, just trying to define the two of their careers and separate them mm-hmm. in different categories, it's so hard to even throwing Kobe in a mix, you know, with them being the three Hall of Fame class.
Mm-hmm.
People have an argument that Tim Duncan is better than Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, that has been, like, something I've been hearing. And I think it's crazy because I think Kobe's second to Jordan, you feel me?
Yeah.
Not, like, in rankings, but that's, like, the second coming sort of Jordan. Like, that's kind of our Jordan that we got to watch.
Yeah.
He's definitely up there. That's tough. That's tough.
Yeah, that's definitely tough. I mean, you know, like
they
said.
Play different positions.
Yeah, so... I mean, well, I'm a power forward and can see, you know, Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett. If I were to pick one of them, I would probably pick Tim Duncan. You know, just because he was silent, the way he presented himself, that would be my selection. Now, with you being a guard, you know, up from front court, knowing the position that Kobe and MJ and them would play, like what would you two like seeing them, you know, as a player of the game, as a student of the game, mm-hmm. watching them growing up, what makes you kind of like attracted to Kobe and MJ's game, you know, differentiating those two?
What I like out of, and they both have it, is like it's killer instinct. It's like something my dad like always talked about, just like,
yeah,
they just were killers, like once we stepped on the court, like I'm gonna beat you type stuff.
Yeah.
And they get showed like in their game, like they weren't like no matter what they were gonna lose, and I like that.
Yeah.
And I don't think many people like like find that mm-hmm. like fire, that urge to just always want to win,
because
mm-hmm. it's really hard because it like eats at you, like it's a whole mental thing. And so I think my personal opinion, I really like those things, and then their footwork, because I mean they could post up.
Yeah, they do, but they post up at the mid-range
like
a lot.
Like the mid-range game,
just watching
yeah.
their game, they definitely do that, and they go to work and they pivot mm-hmm. like a big man would.
And that's where they learned it all from, like the big, like they learned all those moves from Hakeem. Yeah. So yeah. I appreciate that about their game.
Yeah.
Like, definitely the footwork, just them not trying to lose, and then just their clutch.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun to watch.
Yeah. So with them three being in the Hall of Fame class this year, like I said before, probably considered one of the greatest Hall of Fame classes to go in, who would you choose of those three?
To like, who am I just
who
going
to the top? Yeah.
Out of Kobe, KG, and and Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
I really like KG, but that's the first to go.
Dang.
Yeah.
KG's out.
KG is out.
He got the third seat.
And now I got between the Big Fundamental and the Black Mamba. And this is really tough because I'm gonna go Kobe.
Wow, Kobe. Kobe for number one?
Yeah, just because I'm a huge fan. I mean, I love Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go Kobe.
Timmy.
The guard. Timmy. I'm going to go guard.
Guard? Is that biased because you're a guard of a basketball player?
I was just gonna say, it's biased, bro. It's really biased.
Wow.
It is. I mean, the game is played in the trenches with the bigs, but Kobe.
Man, that might make me a little biased towards Tim Duncan, because he has the stats to back it up. So now I can make that argument of who has the better stats,
yeah.
And putting him before Kobe. A lot of people say Kobe, Kobe, Kobe. It might be Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan might have been the greatest of this past decade.
And honestly, it really might be. I mean, setting aside like just the rings. I mean, he was part of a big three, but he was like really the staple of the big three.
Yeah.
Like without Tim Duncan, I don't think that the Spurs are like what they are. And like, I mean, the same could be said about Kobe leaving, but I mean, he had Shaq.
Yeah.
And I mean, Shaq's like the most dominant center.
Could have gave him a ring or two.
Bro. So he had Shaq. And then, I mean, he also had Bynum and Gasol.
Yeah.
So he had a lot of help, but I mean, Tim Duncan was a staple. So I mean, you could be right. I think that's a good point. Like, he was a staple. Like, without him,
yeah,
I don't think the Spurs win how they win. I mean, they also got a crazy coach, but so did, like, a crazy good coach, but so did the Lakers. Hmm. It could be Tim Duncan, bro. Wow.
It could be Tim Duncan.
And like, we just want to say Kobe because he was, like, the most person, like, out there, you feel me?
Uh-huh.
And like you said, Tim Duncan's quiet. He wears, like, baggy Lee jeans.
Yeah, doesn't wear no ties.
Don't wear no ties. Just like big,
goofy.
Like, yeah, he's just goofy.
Yeah, that's funny.
Wife is bad, but goofy.
Yeah, well, again, I'd like to thank my man Russ here for stopping by on the show. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Don't forget, you're listening to Penguin Radio. This is DJ Duncan on the bounce. Quick commercial, and we'll be right back to the topics. By the river, it was quiet, and the time with nature to
remind me of all that's real. It's falling outside, I speak sometimes when you're alone, and remember that you feel. I said it's falling outside, I speak sometimes when you're
Thanks, everybody, for taking that quick commercial break. This is DJ Duncan. You're listening to On the Bounce, Penguin Radio. Like I mentioned before, I got my man Russ joining us, taking it down to the stats and statistics on KG and Tim Duncan. Thanks for joining us, Russ. And I know you got something going on along the side, a little podcast, something like this. Why don't you tell us a little bit what that's about?
For sure. Again, thanks for having me on your show, man.
Yeah, no problem.
So yeah, I have a little podcast show, with another student here at Dominican, Joe. Shout him out too. But together we host. It's called The Lap, nice. And I post the episodes. I think we switched it. We're gonna try and shoot for every Tuesday. Just works better with our schedule. Yeah. And every Tuesday we'll post like an hour 15. Long podcast episode about that covers just stuff that's going around in the world, music and sports, and it's a lot Bay Area relative.
Nice.
And yeah, and it's called The Lap, and I posted it on my SoundCloud, so just be on the lookout. Cool. For it.
Check them out. Back to what we were discussing earlier, you know, Timmy, Kobe and Kevin. Just want to segue on that a little bit before we hit our next topic. But like we said, we don't see players staying with the same organization no more. You know,
You don't, yeah.
Tim and Kobe might be the last of the greatest, at least, to go out in this, you know, in this past decade. You know, I don't think we're going to see it again, especially with the big KG move. KD move.
Yeah.
Excuse me, but... You know, it's definitely not going to be something that we see. Russell Westbrook has said that he's going to be staying loyal to the OKC, but they offered him a nice contract. You know, how long are they willing to do that? So how long are the players willing to go through the tough times? You know, what do you really think on players staying with the same organization? You know, do they feel like if they're not getting it done, they have the right to go somewhere else, or do they have a right to stay? And does the organization have a right over them to keep them for a little bit longer if they project, you know, a championship in the future or playoff runs that are guaranteed? You know, what's your take on that, Russ?
I definitely think, like you were saying, it's probably going to be the end of, like, really seeing, like, players, in a sense, stay loyal to the team that they initially were drafted to, mm-hmm. such as, like, Kobe and Tim Duncan.
Yeah,
because I think players are starting to get caught up in that hype of wanting to win more rings.
Okay.
And they definitely have the right to leave, but and they don't. In some situations, players don't really have that initial connection to the city, maybe.
Yeah.
Which I was surprised to see KD leave because I felt like he was really connected to OKC.
Mm-hmm.
There was rumors of him going back home to Washington, and he kept shutting that down because he was. I felt like he was just making it seem like he was very loyal to OKC.
Yeah.
And so it was a shock to see him leave. And I think that's a trend that's going to continue. Like, again, I don't think Russell Westbrook will really stay in OKC just because he hasn't signed that extension yet.
Yeah.
They already offered him, like, the most money they can, mm-hmm. really, with KD leaving. And he didn't take it. And it's because he is, like... he's scared. Like, he wants to get a ring, and he might not have faith that organization can get it done.
Yeah, and then people are so quick to judge, like I said before, and, you know, they start calling players greedy, and, you know, they're ditching out on the organization. I feel like they never really have hard feelings for the past organizations. You see, you know, LeBron returning to Cleveland because that was his home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and KG returning to Minnesota. You know, fans were mad at KG also. You know, they burned LeBron's jersey.
Yeah.
And then they're coming back. So fans shouldn't be so quick to judge and call them greedy and they just want championships, because that's what defines them as a player, as we said in our previous segment.
Mm-hmm.
So what are, you know.
I think it's like, it is tough, like, for the city to see, like, their star player leave,
mm-hmm.
Like Cleveland. But yeah, players have that freedom to go to do what they want. That's just the era we're in. I think we're leaving that era of, like, trying to get it done on your own.
Yeah.
Because I think the game has changed. Like, each team individually has, like, its own big three.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something like the NBA hasn't seen. I just think it's more teams have it now. And like for Utah, they match up really well with the Warriors because they have, like, Gobert, who else? Rodney Hood, and what's the
white boy?
Yeah, the white boy.
He's good.
He's nice. Gordon Hayward. So yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they have a three that can match up.
Mm-hmm.
You look at, again, like, the Knicks just got their big three with Derrick Rose, Melo, and Noah, sort of.
Okay.
But yeah, like, you just look around the league, each team has, like, three players that they can kind of run their offense through and or make plays out of.
Kyle Lowry, mm-hmm. DeRozan, and Valanciunas.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other teams, but
so that's like a thing, I think.
That's why I think fans are definitely being double standard with that measure, cuz, you know, they want their favorite player, obviously, to get championships to define them as one of the greats, but then once they leave, like LeBron did, you know, they mm-hmm. they call him greedy, and they call him, he's not one of the greatest because he did that move, but now he has, you know, a couple rings to he learned how to win.
Like, he was really trying to get it done by himself in Cleveland as, like, an 18-year-old to whenever he left, you know what I mean? And it was hard. He didn't have enough pieces, really. Like, he was running into other teams that had more pieces, more just better, a better team.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get a better team for him in Cleveland. So he left and learned how to win. He learned how to lead. And then he really wanted to get a chip in Cleveland, like he promised. And he did it.
Yeah. He went to the championship for six straight years. Definitely, like, when he was in Miami, even though he lost two of the four, he was in the finals, which is tough serious business to do. So I'm interested in seeing what KD is doing. You know, you're a little bit of a Warriors fan, if I'm not mistaken. So we're gonna see what defines his career now, because he's ringless. He's been to the finals once.
He is ringless, and like, he has like crazy stats. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, he averages 27 a game in like the best league, the best basketball league in the world.
Yeah.
So his stats are there. Like, he's having a, I would say he's getting close to being able to say he is having a Hall of Fame career, but to be a GOAT. Like, to be like, are you one of the top five to ever play?
Yeah.
Like, you need rings.
Yeah.
And it's still going to be hard to validate his rings, because I think, and I am a Warriors fan, but I think it's crazy that we got KD. I tell, like, my friends and everyone, like, it is a cheat code, because, I mean, we literally have
a seven-foot guard.
Not even that. We have, like, maybe the top two of the top five players in the NBA on our team, along with probably the best catch-and-shoot guard in the league and Klay. Along with the most versatile player in the league in Draymond. Like, it's unfair for sure. And it's just going to be hard to really validate, like, his career, because he's surrounded by so much talent.
Mm-hmm. Damn, that's great. It's okay. We just picked up – who did we pick up, the shooter?
For Cleveland?
Yeah.
I don't know, but Cleveland's still going to be really nice. I'm not going to lie. I have a conspiracy that they land DeMarcus Cousins sometime this season.
DeMarcus Cousins. That I saw rumors of that in the beginning.
And I think K Love is part of that.
Oh, Mike Dunleavy, that's who we got. Yeah, we don't need KD. We got Mike Dunleavy. Good shooter, good stretch shooter.
Former Warrior.
Yeah. But he plays defense too, so you know, we got a good pickup in that.
Catch and shoot guy. You need those.
But back to the topic. It's definitely hard to see our favorite players leave. You know, teams that they were so loyal to, and they were so dedicated to most of their career, which is why I want to see what Westbrook is doing this year, because, you know, he said he's going to go on a tear.
I think he is. I don't know. I'm a Westbrook fan because he's a lot of fun to watch. He's so athletic, and he's so dominant, but, like, I think he needs to, like, learn how to hone it still. Because he does get, like,
control it.
Yeah, control it a little better.
Yeah.
But he's still, for sure, an all-star. He's still one of the best players in the league. I think he'll have, like, a really good year. I just think he'll leave.
Eventually.
Yeah, I think if he doesn't sign the contract, they're going to have to trade him at the deadline, because they're not going to get anything in return for him, and they can get so much. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah. And he's really the only, like, superstar that's been loyal to, you know, his team, really. I'm trying to think of Western Conference teams that
I feel like
that have had loyal superstars in a sense.
Harden. I would say he wouldn't leave Houston, because, one, he's the man, but if he never got traded from OKC, I don't think he would have left.
Really? You think he likes it in Houston?
I think he likes it. I think
he's from Southern California. I know that.
I don't think he would try and be a Laker. Maybe, like, later in his career, he might become a shooter for the Lakers.
Yeah, but like they named him their top point guard a couple days ago.
Yeah, they did, which is crazy.
Crazy. He's going to have the ball for 38 minutes of the game.
And he doesn't play defense.
Yeah. Maybe that's why, to try to kind of hide him on defense, hide him at the top a little bit.
But, like,
you know, so they get streak out.
That's true. But the Western Conference just has so many, like, point guards.
Crazy point guards.
I don't think he'll be guarding them, but it's just, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. It's crazy because he is their PG, so who will be their two guard?
I think he could bring the ball up. I mean, he was brought it up a lot last year anyways.
And he was a point guard for OKC.
Yeah, so he's another loyal. I think he's loyal to Houston.
I think Dame's loyal.
Dame?
Yeah, Damian Lillard. I think.
Yeah, they're going downhill, though, so they're going to try to make some moves. He might stay.
I think he'll stay because he's a building block.
Yeah.
They just need a couple bigs and a bench.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'll really leave Portland like that unless, like, Steph miraculously left the Warriors next summer and then we somehow got Dame and he just put on for Oakland, his hometown, for the rest of his career. But
Steph? He's from?
No, Dame.
Or Dame, yeah. For
but Oakland. Steph becomes a free agent next summer.
Oh, yeah. They're going to capture him real quick.
But I don't see him going anywhere.
Steph previously didn't play anywhere else, did he? Yeah,
he's been with the Warriors his whole career.
So we might, you know, I don't.
Might see a maybe. I don't know.
I feel like there's gonna definitely be a multi-year contract with Steph Curry
to Charlotte, his hometown.
They're definitely gonna capture him, like I said, and try to get him to a multi-year.
They have to. I'm just curious to see how big his contract will be.
Yeah.
Because he's very deserving to get paid, like, the max.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I don't think he's the type of person to... I think he'll, like, low-key take a pay cut. Not even a pay cut, just not sign something crazy.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's part owner of Under Armour.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not losing money. So, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see, definitely. Not really anybody on the Eastern Conference... You know, like I previously
is
stated,
loyal. No one on the East.
Eastern Conference is pretty bad over there.
I know it's weird seeing Dwayne Wade in a Bulls jersey.
Yeah,
that is very weird.
I don't know. I think he's gonna look good in it. He's definitely
there.
A flashy,
but like
the Flash. You know, a flashy
flash.
Dude.
The Flash.
I don't know. I think. It's gonna be tough seeing him leave, but you know, Chicago will be a good home for him. On to the next topic here. We're going to talk about the WNBA just for a little bit.
They're nice.
But we're going to, you know, the MVP candidates are heating up. Fan favorite, I'm going for Maya Moore.
She's nice.
She's good.
Buckets.
I've seen her dunk.
She could dunk?
YouTube, not in person, but I've seen her dunk on YouTube.
That's impressive. 10-foot hoop?
Man. DJ Cheeks might be able to dunk. I haven't witnessed it, but I know her highlight tape has something of her grabbing the rim. So we might need to have a dunk off between DJ Cheeks
and Maya Moore.
That would be good. But yeah, that Diana Taurasi, another favorite of mine.
She's from Chino, right?
She's from like West Covina.
Hey,
which is near us. But that's what I looked up on her bio to see if she claimed Chino, and she doesn't. She went to school in Chino. To high school in Chino. Went straight out of.
She went to
UConn, I think.
Yeah.
But so the MVP is heating up. The playoffs are heating up. We're almost on to the second round. And I have a conspiracy, Russ.
Yeah, let me hear this. Let me hear this conspiracy.
I have a conspiracy for the WNBA. I think the WNBA could improve their sales of attendance, views, everything.
They can improve their game.
They could even improve their game. Yes, shooters
just
will
overall
be,
like everything.
Everything
is
will improve in the WA if this happens. I want the rims to be lowered to about 9 feet. 9 feet, maybe like 9.5 is kind of still tough.
Yeah,
to tough. But if we lower the WNBA hoops to 9 feet, subscriptions and viewers will skyrocket. It's going to be crazy. Whoever is in the WNBA, I need to have a talk with them. Because I'm telling you this, the game is going to be way more explosive. Girls are going to be dunking on each other. You know, Brittany Garner is already dunking on people right now. You know, to see her on a 9-foot hoop would be dangerous.
DeAndre Jordan.
She would be the DeAndre Jordan of the WNBA. So people would be dunking on each other. Adds highlights to the game. You know, you don't really see highlights. Most highlights you see really are passes and
maybe a euro step.
I've seen spin moves when they jump in the air and like spin around a player. That's hard. That's tough. I give them credit for that,
definitely.
But this will add so much
flair
to the game. You know, you'll
excitement.
see excitement. Yeah. girls could be shooting from half court. You know, they already can shoot as it is. Burners. You know, they really can shoot. But to lower the rims, wow, they're just going to be shooting from half court. Yeah, they're going to be some Steph Currys, and then they're going to be dunking on each other. It's going to be one of the best improvements any organization has ever. I mean, do you think that would raise fans, or do you think anybody would be mad that they were taken away from the game? I mean, it would be harder to regulate, obviously, because
it's going to be a little more physical, maybe.
Well, I'm saying, like, regulate going up because, you know, 10-foot rim is a standard rim. So yeah. How are girls, you know, in younger grades going to be playing at a 9-foot rim all the time? Are there going to be special gyms for girls, or mm-hmm. special hoops that they could be put in, because 10-foot is a regulation of most basketball courts in the high school, college, you know, so
everywhere else.
How do you think we can make this, you know, how do you think people would react to the WNBA lowering its hoops to 9 feet?
I think if it worked, it'd really be what you said. Like, everyone would be like, yo, like, WNBA game is on tonight.
Yeah.
And, like, people are going to be getting boofed on. Like, exactly. Like, dude, I would watch that. And, like, don't get me wrong, like, I definitely, like, respect, like, WNBA mm-hmm. basketball players, because they're really good. Yeah, like, I mean, like, UConn, bro. Like,
yeah, they don't lose.
They don't lose. And so, like, I definitely respect that, because I know they got game. But I think, yeah, this would just add, another dynamic to it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless out of nowhere, like, they just physically, like, develop, like, 40-inch verts. But, I mean, that's tough.
That anytime soon. I mean, so, we see Brittany Griner with, like, one of the first dunks in the WNBA.
Who else?
In the past year.
Lisa Leslie.
Oh, Lisa Leslie could dunk.
She could dunk.
She was good with the Sparks.
And Candace Parker.
Candace Parker.
I think she could dunk, too.
In game, though?
I don't think it was in game, but I think Brittany Griner is the only one I've seen. Brittany Griner is the only one in game. Things. Wow.
Boof is a dunk for your listeners. No. So they're dunking on people. And that, like it says, adds excitement.
Adds flair. And I mean, like, yeah, like you said, like, it could like raise their value
mm-hmm.
by selling more tickets at their arenas, getting them on bigger networks, because it is more exciting.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's definitely a lot of aspects that they should think about to try to add some more flair to their game.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna write a statement. Let someone edit it. And then we're gonna go about it, because that could definitely have some money coming my way if we see that change happening. It'll be tough. It'll be tough to do. Like I said, all the regulations and all the standardized procedures of getting a 9-foot rim. I mean, for the WNBA, it's not gonna be hard, but colleges, practices, that'll be something tough to do as a whole. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to finish up our last segment here, talking about Chris Bosh, Camp Sardin, with NBA teams. And then you're going to wrap up with your favorite Dominican Pangs. You know, also like to thank Russ one more time, for coming on. This is DJ Duncan on the bounce. You're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Gonna go take a quick commercial break.
Yeah. make a clap to this.
To show our appreciation for your support.
Make a clap to this.
Thank you, DJs.
Make a clap to this. I never let the mic magnetize me no more, but it's biting me, inviting me to rhyme. I can't hold it back, I'm looking for the line. Taking off my coat, clearing my throat. The rhyme will be kicking in till I hit my last note. My mind remains defined, all kind of ideas. Self-esteem makes it seem like a thought took years to build. But still say a rhyme after the next one. Prepared, never scared, I'll just bless one. And you know that I'm the soloist, so Eric B, make him clap to this. Make him clap to this. Make a clap to this. Make a clap to this. Bug out of chill, don't be acting ill. No tricks in 86, it's time to build. Eric, be easy on the cut, no mistakes allowed. Cause to me, MC means move the crowd. I made it easy to dance to this. But can you detect what's coming next from the flex of the wrist? Say indeed, then I proceed, cause my man made a mix. If he bleed, he won't need no band-aid to fix his fingertips. So I'm on my tooth, there's no rhymes left. I hurry up because the cut will make him bleed to death. But he's kicking it, cause it ain't no half-stepping. The party is live, the rhyme can't be kept inside of me. He's erupted just like a volcano. It ain't the everyday style or the same old rhyme, cause I'm better than the rest of them. Every B is on the cut and my name is Rakim. Make a clap to this.
Thank you guys for taking that quick commercial break. We're here back. This is DJ Duncan. You're on the Bounce, Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, live Tuesdays at 4 if you're doing nothing for an hour. You know, I'm talking about basketball on and off the court, being a basketball player here at Dominican. You know, I'm caught up in all the news, inside scoop on NBA players, following tweets, Instagram, and we're going to be talking about it, discussing it, and living it. So got my man Russ here on the show, finishing up last segment. It's been a good time. What we're gonna finish up with, before we talk about your own Penguins, we're gonna talk about Chris Bosh a little bit. And it's a sad story. Recently released, him retiring, or not retiring, he actually says Chris is very open-minded, and he said, you know, it's not a mention of if I'm going to play again, it's when. But Pat Riley released a statement 2 days ago saying that he's almost certain Chris Bosh has played his final game with Miami due to his health setback. You know, at first he had a blood clot that, like, started in his leg, went up to his lungs or his heart, had to have it removed. And then he recently had another one, which kept him out of last year's playoffs. Crazy story, especially if those who've seen Chris Bosh, you know, he's a very nice guy, very respectful, kind of gets made fun of a lot because he's kind of a goofball and just kind of weird sometimes, but he has a good heart, you know.
Definitely.
Teammates have said nothing but good things of him, you know, on every team. And, you know, with Pat Riley saying that he doesn't expect, you know, Bosh to come back, he's like, he's basically putting them out of the Heat's picture and what they're trying to do and build around. And he's the last of the big three to go. Which is crazy to see. It felt like, you know, not a year ago or two they were created. You know, putting together D Wade, Bosh, and LeBron James. And then now you know, D-Wade leaving, and then Chris Bosh leaving. It's tough to see that dissemble and, you know, what's the future for the Heat in Hassan Whiteside and Justice Winslow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not looking too good. Gordon Dragic, which is another a point guard for them, you know, said, you know, he's never thought it's going to end up this way. He's always a positive guy, but it's hard to accept the fact because of CB, who's Chris Bosh. First of all, he's a great friend, great teammate. This morning when I found out, I was in shock, but his health is first. He's got a beautiful family, and he's got to take care of them. You know, Bosh is currently married and a father of five, and he has, says, $76 million left on his contract, money that's guaranteed whether he plays or not. So they have to pay him $76 million if he's going to put on a jersey or not. So the Heat are basically kind of over that segment, kind of. I feel like Phil Riley's paying, you know, you're paying for someone, it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they like Gordon Dragic said, you have to do what's best in his health. Definitely take precautionaries, especially if it's a blood clot, you know, going to your lungs or heart. It's very problematic. You know, and what's next for Chris Bosh? We don't know. We don't know. You know, it's going to be interesting, you know, seeing him, you know, not be in the league, because he was good on the Raptors. I remember watching him on the Raptors with the braids, and then with the braids, really rocking.
Baby Raptor.
Yeah, baby. He looked like a baby Raptor, and then he cut his hair. Everyone starts making fun of him because he does what he's doing in the back of the cameras.
Oh, he always photobombs cameras.
Yeah, he photobombed cameras just with weird looks. And people just love to poke fun, you know, on the internet. So it's kind of funny to see that stuff. But, you know, on a serious note, he had to, you know, take off last playoffs, previous playoffs thing, because, you know, doctors aren't clearing him. And you know, LeBron James has said, you know, good words about him, talking to him all summer. He said, he says it's unfortunate what he's going through, but he supports him in whatever he does. It looks like that's his brother to him. Eric Spoelstra says he loves Chris Bosh. You know, it's tough to watch Chris Bosh and his family go through such a hard time. And even Pat Riley said some good words about him. But it's tough to see a player go through that, kind of making him step out because of a health issue. But like they said before, you know, you have to do what's right. And the Heat are kind of left struggling now. You know, Dwayne Wade left, Luol Deng left, and Joe Johnson also left. So the only really is Dragic and Winslow with Hassan Whiteside. So we'll see what they do next year. But the Big Three is officially over, and LeBron James will continue his legacy with the Cleveland Cavs for the rest of his season in the NBA. So that's about Chris Bosh. Finishing up here, a couple more minutes left. Talk about Dominican Pangs, Russ. Hey. You know what we're doing right now.
Getting up at God's hour.
Getting up at.
Tired.
Probably wake up at 6:20 every day.
Yeah.
Just roll around for like 30 seconds, and then, you know, get the junkyard dog in me, and I get up and go to practice.
Head to the ice box.
Head to the ice box. So that's what we're doing. We're waking up early, practicing, going hard,
preparing for an exciting year for sure.
Yeah, last year, so we, you know, man, we got to go out with a bang.
Gotta go out with a bang. So expect a bang. It's gonna be a fun year.
Yeah,
I'm really excited.
I was telling on the first show our schedule.
Okay.
So you definitely guys got to check that out. Dominican Athletics, our schedule, girl schedule. Currently we're in fall sports. Got volleyball going, soccer going. So you guys got to check us out. Definitely gonna be some good moments, some highlights.
Some boofs. For sure.
Yeah. And so we're just running right now, really. We're just getting everything set in stone. Trying to enjoy it as much as we can because, you know, like you said, it's our last year. But we're trying to be serious about it as well.
On a mission.
Yeah, we're really on a mission.
Trying to accomplish something that, it's always the goal, but something that our school hasn't done yet and is hang up of banners, and that's always the goal, but we got a special feeling about this year.
Last year.
I think we're going to get it done, so we got to just keep working.
You heard it here first, folks. On the bounce, TJ Duncan. I want to thank you, Russ, for the last time. Probably thank you like six times.
No,
but
it's all good. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I got you. Commercial break, bro. You gotta let them know who's talking. DJ Duncan, Russ here on the bounce. Want to thank you guys for listening. Every Tuesday, stop in 4 to 5 p.m. You're listening to Penguin Radio. This is radio.dominican.edu, and I'll see you next week.
Following the four P's, preparation, production, presentation, and problem solving, the DJs of Penguin Radio rock!
To you, since you know, brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio at Radio.